And on the line, I've got Chris Gardner from Biosystems. And Chris, you're a local, but right now you're down at Punakaiki in the South Island on the west coast there, are you?
That's correct. Long way to go to do work, but I've got a bunch of systems in the Wanaka and Glenorchy area that I specialise in looking after, lodges and that sort of accommodation ones where we put in rather big ones.
So you do septic systems, and most people think of septic tanks probably in that standard approach to things, but you specialise in biolytic septic systems. Can you just tell us what does biolytics mean, ends with an X?
Sure. Well, biolytics is what the name implies. It's a biological approach to the treatment of waste. It's not new technology. The Chinese were doing it 5,000 years ago.
Right.
So what we've done is we've brought it up to the modern standards, packaged it in a really good system that people can use. So the heart of the system is tiger worms.
Okay.
And their business is your business.
Okay. That's your cute phrase to describe what's going on. So there used to be a septic tank, and then you'd have this field of stuff running into the ground after it was sort of had been in the septic tank for a while. Do you still do that sort of thing?
No, we don't do that in most parts of New Zealand. That's no longer permitted.
Okay.
Because the word says, it's septic. It's anaerobic,
yeah.
Break some of the materials, and that's how you get the sulfurous smells.
Mm. So how does this new system work, or this old new system, new old system?
Okay, yeah, well, an advanced old system. How it works is by the material comes into a tank which has got a compost layer on the top. So we use cocoa peat as part of the sieving devices. It runs down through a tank. The tank is quite small, actually. It's only about 2 metres deep and 2 metres wide. The tiger worms and the millions of other bacteria, because they're not on their own, break the material down, the paper and the human waste, in the top layer of the tank. The urine and water from your kitchen, etc., and your showers just trickles down through the system. It's sieved down through these layers of cocoa peat and filters, and then in the bottom of the tank, it reaches a pump chamber, and in simple terms, it's just then pumped out via irrigation lines around your garden.
So what is the toilet like in the house? Like, is it still a toilet
standard
with water in it? Standard toilet, okay.
Yeah, just a standard toilet. Nothing changes. We don't ask people to do anything different apart from be a bit more thoughtful about the chemicals they might use in their cleaning and in their washing.
So does the water, do you have to kind of flush the water through in the tank and leave the solids there to be processed? Is that something going on there like that?
That's it. The tank is like a giant sieve, and it catches all the solids at the top, and the worms live in damp conditions and work harder than most of us do.
Okay.
So they really earn their keep, and the reward for it is they get left there for their whole lives.
Okay. Is that your phone beeping or my phone at the moment? Oh, it's gone.
No, it's not my phone.
Okay, it's right, it's stopped. Okay, I think someone's been trying to get hold of me. Sometimes people ring even though I'm on the air. Someone's trying again. All right, back to the interview. Is this a system that can be put into an urban section, which are typically like 450 square metres these days, or is this more for rural lifestyle properties?
Yeah, it's more for rural lifestyle properties. Urban houses have to be on a county, like a council-based reticulation system. So we the smallest rural sections are around 4,000 or 5,000 square metres, and that's heaps of space. You need 300 square metres of land for the drip irrigation, which is subsurface and just drips it out straight into the soil.
Is it good for your garden?
Absolutely, yep. It's full of all the good stuff that makes plant grow. So you've got obviously the nitrogen that comes out of urine, and the waste that comes out of broken down paper, and even the material out of your washing machine that's got potassium and phosphates in it, and that's all grown out by the plants. The best way to get rid of it, let nature grow something with it.
And you said, obviously you're not allowed to put these systems in urban properties, but could you? Do you think you could, knowing the technical side of it, you could make it work in an urban property, given 300 square metres?
Not really, because urban properties have not really enough soakage area left. We cover so much of our properties with hard surfacing, you can't make it work. And councils are not happy about it. We've got them in areas where there are smaller sections where there wasn't reticulated sewage, but as soon as they put reticulated sewage in, they really try and convince people to go on to that. So it can work, but it depends on soil types to get good soakage. You know, you're on a, out there, for example, a lot of your materials are quite clay, but you've got an overlying ash on the top. And as long as you've got about 100 mils of reasonably friable topsoil, these lines are only buried that far down, 100 to 150 mils below the top. It's 80% of the water is actually evaporated.
So I was going to ask about the clay situation out here, because it is a bit of a, you know, it's a bit of a thing that we have to deal with. Is that an extra degree of difficulty, or you're comfortable with it?
No, it just adds a degree of caution in when we put the lines in and how we put them in. Sometimes where there's a heavy clay soil, you put in a metal trench, and then you lay the soaker line inside the trench, which just gives the clay more time to get rid of the water. The average house is putting out about 1,000 to 1,500 litres of water a day. That's two adults and two kids, that sort of region of volume.
That's a lot of water.
It does seem a lot of water, yeah. And you're right. And probably a lot of that water, it doesn't need to be going into a wastewater system at all. Nothing from your shower, your hand basins, or your laundry actually legally has to go into a wastewater system. It can be treated in what's called a grey water system,
yep.
And then that just goes straight onto your tomatoes.
So that's what you do. If you had sufficient space, like a 5,000 square metre lifestyle size section, you would do that. You'd split them off.
Yes, absolutely. Yep.
Yeah, okay.
Yep.
Makes it
a lot easier.
Is there any yucky stuff that people have to do when they've got it? Do they have to get their hands dirty or anything like that?
When no, you've got a system? They don't. And even though I'm in the business, I don't get my hands dirty either.
Right.
So the work we do when we service systems is we strip and clean the pumps. And, of course, we've got to be fully injected up for hepatitis and wear gloves when we do that.
Yeah.
Because the pumps are contaminated. So we strip them, water blast them, and put them back so that everything's operating effectively. So a biolytics has only two parts to it. One's a little air pump, which keeps the system highly oxygenated, and the other is the water pump, which pumps out the water into the drainage field.
And do you have to, like, clean out the tank at any point?
Eventually you do, yes. After about 10 years,
okay.
The solids build up on the top, and we come and lift the lids off and strip the top layers out of the tank.
Mm. It's interesting. We don't like to think about what's happening after we've been to the toilet.
People don't.
But it's, and we'd just like to wash it all away, but it has consequences, and we've been living with those consequences this summer with the harbour closed twice to swimming and shellfish collection. Even though it was treated wastewater, but it was going on the incoming tide. I guess everyone knows those details. I don't need to mention it. But I guess we could talk at this point about the wider issue of putting our waste into water and how problematic that actually is, and why it ends up with this big complicated system that doesn't always work.
Yes, well, traditionally our systems have evolved from what was developed in the 19th century, and by and large they are relatively effective. The trouble is we put too much water into these systems that doesn't actually need the degree of treatment that we give it. So it's really only the output of your toilet and your kitchen sinks that need treating.
Yeah.
All the rest of your water should just going on your garden, but as a matter of course, we don't separate it. In other countries, they do.
Right.
They separate it out. So you minimise the actual amount of contaminated waste that you have to deal with carefully.
Would it be, I mean, I guess, you know, the old school way is that whatever happened, it was always treated with at the source, dealt with at the source. I know there are people with composting toilets and do treat it at the source. And that would
correct.
That would mean we didn't need these big complicated systems that get increasingly complex and have caused lots of upset in this community over the years. Are we better off not using water at all? Is that an ideal from a technical point of view?
Well, there are very good composting toilets that still have used water. I market a Swedish brand, and the Swedes are very clever at doing this. And the toilet itself separates out the water at the source, so it's like a little two-chamber toilet. And the solids material are just composted. So you actually have a composting bin, if you like, in the toilet in your house. These are very popular in tiny houses and things like that. They only need the little bag, only needs emptying once a month, and it's put into a compost bin with worms, or you just bury it in the garden. And after about 3 months, it breaks down.
So if you could wave a magic wand and be the person who has the solution for all our three waters problems in this country, what would you recommend?
Well, first of all, I think you just mentioned it earlier. We need to use less water. We are extremely wasteful of it. We've got plenty of it in New Zealand, but we are, you know, really making a mess of our own mess by the way we mess it up and then put it out.
Yeah.
So I think people, first of all, need to take more responsibility for their byproducts, and we could do a lot better. Your plant at Raglan is overloaded, and that's why you're getting these problems, you know, when it gets flooded out, it's just got too much going into it. So the magic wand is, yes, we could have grey water systems on every house. Every domestic house could have a grey water system put in when they're built. Mm. They're not hugely expensive, $2,500, $3,000. That's all they'd add to the cost of a house. And you could take away 80% of your water. 80% of your 1,000 litres a day would not have to go into the wastewater system at all.
So would it end up, oh, you're talking about putting it on gardens?
I'm just talking about putting it on gardens. Or, you know, if you wanted to, there's a big project we're doing down at near Rotorua, where we're putting in 300 systems around the lake, and the system is treated and all the water is pumped up into the hills, and it's used to grow lucerne and things like that up into a paddock, up into a pasture.
So that's the grey water?
No, that's the treated.
Oh, sorry.
The treated water through a biolytics. Instead of pumping the water out onto your section, it's taken away in a reticulation system, and the pump and the pipes are relatively small because you're only moving water, liquid, and so you can get a lot of water through a 150mm diameter pipe as opposed to a 450 or 500mm concrete pipe that you need for solid waste. And so the pumps are cheaper to run, and the water can just be put straight on to agricultural land.
Right.
Very
it does.
Smart.
Yeah, it does. So what are the odds that this is going to happen all over, do you think? Is there a growing movement in this direction? Is it going to be in enough time?
Yes, I believe so. We've got some really forward-thinking councils, and Rotorua Council has been quite bold in this movement, but I think the real praise of it must go to the Maori people who live around the lake and said, we don't want to do this. We don't want to have this stuff leaking back into our lake. So you're going to have to do it a different way. And this was the solution that we came up with, and we finally got it over the line, and it's actually being installed now.
So is that
so that's fabulous.
Chris, is that the sort of thing they're talking about? Because there's been discussions in town and a group experts working on a land-based treatment system for Whangaroa. Is that similar to what we'd be talking about here?
To be honest, I'm not up with what's been advocated there. I haven't seen any design work on it, because that seems to be done by the big consultants.
Yeah, and, well, they're still at the point of pinning down a piece of land and working out the capacity, and I know there's thoughts that in winter, with the land already saturated with rain, they might have to put stuff into the into the sea anyway.
Right.
So, yeah, I guess we wait and see. I think there was a... Yeah, we're going to wait and see.
Yeah, with all of these things. But I think we've got to get a much more open mind to the varieties of solutions that are available. And one of the things that I think Raglan has shown the way, which I'm very encouraged by, is the way you treat your waste generally. So why don't we take that zero waste production a step further and look at better ways of disposing of our human waste and get a bit smarter about it? The technology is there.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, Chris, it's time for me to wrap up, but have you got an online website or location people can check you out?
Well, they can check out about Biolytics at www.biolytics.com. That's the website for the tank system. But myself and Tony, we are basically service operators. So, we don't have a website. We just work through word of mouth, and we will be doing a leaflet drop in the Raglan area with all our contact details on it.
Okay, and can we just spell Biolytics so if people look that up, they're getting
yeah,
it right?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, so Biolytix.
Okay, and Tony Long, he's your business partner?
Yes, he is. Yep. Tony's got seen the light and decided he wants to be part of doing something useful. Yeah. Well, not that he wasn't before.
Right.
He can't spend all his time surfing.
People try.
People try, as you should.
Mm. Hey, Chris, it's been good to talk to you this morning. Just get a little bit of perspective on things for people to know that there are other possibilities out there. So thanks for your time, and good luck with your trip in the South Island.
Pleasure. Nice to talk. Bye.
Okay, folks, that was Chris Gardner from Biosystems, and yeah, you heard the story there. Lots of possibilities in the world, of course. Hey, now we're going to be talking to Jasmine from the Environment Centre in a moment. Stand by for that. We've got a little ad break and some music first up.